And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live, local, on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. And as always, I am your host, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Sponsor this half hour, Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our mission is to seek out and find willing people to be obedient to Christ and to live according to His will. Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We wish you'd stop by and visit us sometime. She's served by our preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples. Much to the chagrin of the Sadducees, who said there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, and to the agreement of the Pharisees, who acknowledged them all, we believe that we are surrounded by an unseen spiritual realm where angels and demons dwell. Now, this realm has been sensationalized through movies and television shows. Maybe the best known and most famous or infamous was William Peter Blatty's The Exorcist. That was first a book, and then it was adapted into a movie. It grossed over $100 million. But that's a classic example. The more contemporary might be Dan Brown's Angels and Demons. That was a book that was adapted into a movie starring Tom Hanks. There seems to be a lot of interest, a lot of curiosity in these spiritual beings, angels and demons. I'm sure that curiosity, that interest that men and women have, that reaches back even further into the centuries, maybe even possibly to the beginning of time. I'm not sure. But, there seems to have always been this interest in angels, demons, and the spiritual realm. And so I want to take a few, several episodes and just deal with angels and demons. Probably two episodes on angels, two episodes on demons. And see what we know about angels and demons. First of all, the good guys. And really, when we talk about origin, where did angels come from? The things that I say about angels apply not only to the good guys in their origin, but also the bad guys in their origin, because they all came from the same pool. They all have the same origin. There are some who are fallen angels, and we'll discuss why that is as we go, but all angels have the same origin. Whether they're good or fallen, they all have the same origin. Now, what do we know? We know, first of all, that no new creatures were made after the sixth day in creation. Genesis 2, 1 and 2, on day 7, God rested from all his creative efforts, and that was it. So, we also know that nothing that has been made was made without Christ. All things were created by him and through him. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, especially verse 3 there. So, here's the thing. All the angels that ever were or ever will be are now in existence. All the angels that have been, all the angels that are, all the angels that will be, God, he's not creating more angels. They're all created. And so he's not making more and new ones or anything like that. Now, the Father, through Christ, created all things. Whether we're talking about things in heaven, on earth, visible or invisible, all things were created through Christ and for him. Colossians 1:17 tells us. So, it seems reasonable to me that before the beginning, there was nothing. And that could include angelic beings. And so sometime during the first 6 days of creation is when God created them. That seems like a conclusion that someone could draw. When exactly did God create the angels? It's not stated in Scripture. But it is hinted at. You got to dig for this one. Over in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. It talks about how the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy as God laid earth's cornerstone. Job 38, verses 4 through 7. So, it would seem reasonable to me as well, if someone wants to draw this conclusion, that God created the angels at some point in eternity past, before he laid earth's foundation and made the earth and everything in it. Sons of God, by the way, is typical language for angels and angelic beings. In Job 1 verse 6, 2 verse 1, sons of God, that's angelic language. So they were there. They were there when God was creating and rolling out the creation, and they were all singing. I know there's some who get their hair on fire because, folks say angels sing. No, they just say. They don't sing. You got them singing together and shouting for joy at the creative efforts of the Heavenly Father. So there's that little tidbit. Again, when exactly is not stated in Scripture. It's just hinted at, and it seems reasonable. If someone wants to conclude someday, sometime during the first 6 days God created, I don't have a problem with that. It seems more reasonable, though, to conclude that it was before God started his creative work on the earth. Now, when it comes to the angels, they were all created good. They were all created holy. And I say that because God made everything in the beginning very good. Genesis 1:31. He looked at everything he made and it was very good. So all the angels, when they were created holy. They were created good. They were created uncorrupted in their original essence as these spiritual beings. However, do angels have free will? It seems that they were endowed with free will, just like man. And therefore, they were not necessarily impervious to temptation and ultimately sin. Several texts in the Bible indicate that a great many of the original host of angels fell from their proper place under the leadership of Satan. Luke 10:18, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. 2 Peter 2 verse 4, also in the little book of Jude, they talk about, Peter and Jude do, about angels that didn't maintain their proper place. Revelation 12 and verse 9 talks about how Satan took a third of the stars with him. Stars in prophetic literature, especially in Revelation, have to do with angels. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, some read that as being a description of when Satan fell. But again, they were all created good. Now, I'll discuss this in a little bit more detail when we get to demons and those sorts of things. But in the meantime, suffice it to say, they were all good, they were all holy, they were all uncorrupted, but they did have free will, and they're not impervious to temptation and sin. How many angels are there? There's too many to count. Innumerable. says Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Those appear to be just those who have kept their proper place, by the way. They're innumerable. And if Satan took a third with him in his rebellion, over in Revelation 12, verse 4 talks about, what's a third of that which can't be counted? Yeah, so there's a bunch, a whole bunch of angels that God created, and they are created beings. They are definitely created beings. Scripture talks about in the book of Nehemiah that God created the heavens and the hosts of heavens. That's the angels. They're created beings. And again, God did that through Christ. Those invisible things in heaven, in the heavens, yeah, he created the angels too. Well, that's a bit about where they came from. Now, what about their nature? What are they like? People want to know, what do angels look like? And when it comes to the nature of angels, when God created men and women, he created them to procreate, and that happens through sex. But angels, on the other hand, Jesus tells us they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, Matthew 22, verse 30. And so angels, they don't propagate. They don't procreate. And as I already mentioned, the whole number of angelic beings that ever have been, ever will be, that are, is fixed. It's a number which is neither diminished nor increased. The whole number of them were created in the beginning. So that's a bit about their nature. They're created, but also they're created just a little bit above man. There seems to be a pecking order here. God at the top, of course. Man at the bottom. But in between, you have the angelic realm. Psalm 8 and verse 5, Hebrews 2 and verse 9, which is a quotation of the Psalm 8 passage, talk about how man was created a little lower than the angels, and how Jesus, he came down below the angels. Again, there's this spiritual pecking order where the angels are above us in that order. Angels are spiritual beings. They are ministering spirits, according to Hebrews 1 and verse 14. See also Psalm 104 and verse 4, that they are spirits. They don't have a body of flesh, in other words. They don't have a physical form. Now, when they are dispatched to earth and manifest in this physical realm, when they take some kind of form where they appear similar to humans, okay? But again, it's only for a brief period of time, and then they're back to their spiritual selves. And so these are spiritual beings. When they do appear, they appear in brilliant white clothing. And so, again, but the emphasis here is on their spiritual being. They are spiritual beings. They don't have a body of flesh. Now, although they are spiritual, they're not God, okay? They're angels. They're different. They are, therefore, not omnipresent all places at all times. There are times when they have supernatural knowledge, but any knowledge that they receive is given to them by God, and typically it's to be communicated to man. And so even though they may have superhuman knowledge, they're not omniscient. Even the angels of heaven don't know when Jesus is coming back, Matthew 24:36, Mark 13:32. In fact, the source of their knowledge is God himself, as I've already mentioned. They're just his messengers. Now, that's more to their ministry, which I'll deal with in the next episode. But suffice to say, they are his messengers. They don't occupy time and space unless they manifest somehow, they appear to somebody, or they appear in a vision. Daniel 10, beginning in verse 4, you have this vision from Daniel where he sees Gabriel, one of the angels of God, archangel. Or when Gabriel shows up to Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, in Luke 1, verse 10, he shows up in the temple, manifests. again, for just a brief period of time. One other thing about their nature, actually I have several other things, but this is of vital importance. They're immortal. They're incapable of dying. Luke 20, verse 36, Jesus talks about how angels, they don't die. A lot of people want to know, okay, they show up. When they show up, do they have wings? Do angels have wings? And the best I can say to that is that Scripture does talk about how angels fly. They are capable of flight. Daniel 9:21, Revelation 14, verse 6, where an angel is flying over the earth in the heavens. Yeah, so they're capable of flying. That has led some to believe that they do have wings. In fact, over in the book of Zechariah, chapter 5, you have this vision where Zechariah, he's talking with an angel in the vision, and there's also this basket which shows up. What's in the basket? They take the lid off, and a woman is sitting in the basket, verse 7. This is wickedness. And the angel shoves the woman back down to the basket, puts the lid on it, and then two women come forward. Verse 9, I lifted my eyes and saw, behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth, and they take it over to Babylon. Shinar, that's another word for Babylon. Two women. Are these angels? Typically, angels are pictured as men. I know some people would argue, well, they don't have gender. Gabriel is, and he's a dude. And then there's these two women that show up. And they've got wings like a stork. If they are angels, then they have wings. And maybe that's, you know, something which distinguishes the men and the women. Men, the male angels don't have wings. The female angels do have wings. When they show up, they appear as men sometimes. All right, and now here there's a couple women. It's just interesting. Do angels have wings? Maybe. That's the best I can say about that. There are various ranks of angels. This is very interesting. There are cherubim. Genesis 3, verse 24, it's a cherub which blocks off the entrance to the Garden of Eden. There are seraphim. In Isaiah 6 and verse 2, that's the only place they show up. Seraphim is in the throne room of God, and they're worshiping and they're praising God, holy, 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 and all that. Paul talks about how there are thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Those seem to be terms which indicate rank and order. Colossians 1 and verse 16. He also mentions those over in Ephesians 6, more pertaining to the demonic realm. But anyway, there are archangels, which seems to be cut above the rest of your ordinary angels, Michael, Gabriel. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 talks about the archangel coming when Jesus comes back, the trumpet of the archangel. So yeah, there do appear to be ranks and orders among the angels themselves. There's some kind of pecking order there. Now, with all the talk and mention of angels, there are only two which are mentioned by name in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. You can read about Gabriel in the book of Daniel. He shows up several times there. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, he shows up a couple times there. Michael, he shows up also in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. And also in Jude, verse 9, he's mentioned as arguing, disputing with the devil concerning the body of Moses. Now, there are other Jewish traditions in apocryphal writings of the Old Testament which name other angels like Raphael, Uriel, and Jeremiah. And you can go online, you can find whole lists of angelic names as well as demonic names. But a whole list of angelic names that you can find on the intraweb. How they got those names, I don't know, other than perhaps an overactive imagination. However, the two that are mentioned in Scripture are sufficient to tell us a couple few things about angels. Number one, these are beings who are conscious of their existence. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He knows who he is, and he knows of his existence. They have personality. They're rational creatures, rational beings. Scripture talks about how they experience joy when a sinner repents, Luke 15, verse 10. They experience curiosity. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 talks about how angels long to look into these things. And of course, angels, they worship God, that is. Isaiah 6, verse 3, Revelation 4, verse 18. It's the language of worship. And that's typical of angels. Now, someone wants to know, what about angels and my deceased loved ones? Do our deceased loved ones become angels? And the short answer is no. No, angels are not disembodied souls of departed loved ones. And neither are their evil counterparts, by the way, the demons, okay? I know there's that school of thought out there, even in the Brotherhood, that demons are the souls of dead bad people, okay? That's not the case. Angels are angels. There's a distinguishing factor concerning whether they're still good and holy or whether they have fallen. But really, this is the root of this angelology about how our dead loved ones become angels is the angelology of It's a Wonderful Life, where the angel Clarence needs to earn his wings. That's just simply bad angelology, okay? That simply isn't the case. Angels, they were created fully formed. So if they have wings, they already have them. They don't have to earn them. And they are distinct from human beings. We are below them in the spiritual pecking order. God, then angels, then us. And Christ comes from the God order. And he's as much God as God is God, Hebrews 1. And he comes down and he's created and made lower than the angels and identifies with his brothers in flesh and blood, Hebrews chapter 2. And so they're distinct. But even though they are different than us, and they're even above us in the spiritual pecking order, they do not see any indignity whatsoever in helping us creatures of a lower order. They are ministering spirits to the saints, Hebrews 1 and verse 14. But then again, maybe it's a pleasure to them because they know, and don't you know, we will judge angels? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Paul writes that, by the way, and I want to go, no, Paul, I didn't know that. Could you elaborate? But, of course, he doesn't. He just says it. You're going to judge angels. How about that? Now, this is their origin, the nature of angels, where they come from, what they're like. I'm going to deal with their ministry in the next episode. But let me just deal with this question as well. Having seen all that we have concerning angels, that they are these spiritual created beings, I believe we can answer this question. Should people worship angels? Should people pray to angels? The answer is absolutely not. In fact, when you see this in Scripture where somebody falls down, an angel shows up, and somebody, like John, he does this a couple times in the book of Revelation, 19 verse 10, also Revelation 22 verse 8 and 9. When an angel shows up and John falls down in order to worship him, the angel is quick to redirect him and say, no, I'm just a fellow servant. Don't worship me. Worship God. Worship God. Even Jesus, he expressly forbade the worship of angels when he said, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only, Matthew 4 and verse 10. Angel worship is forbidden by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 and verse 18. No, and again I say it, no, we should not, under any circumstances, worship angels. Do we have guardian angels? Do we have guardian angels? Do people have guardian angels? There are a number of texts, which I just want to run by you very quickly in response to this question, because they help frame it a little bit. Psalm 34 and verse 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Also Psalm 91 and verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And then there's one passage in the New Testament over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18, 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. This is where Jesus tells, let the little children come to me. It's earlier in chapter 18. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. These few Bible verses are the verses that people tend to point to in order to support the idea of guardian angels. You could include in this Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 about how angels are ministering spirits to the saints or for the saints. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So, based on what little biblical data we have on this subject of guardian angels, it would seem that we do have these unseen angels who are watching out for our best interests, guarding us, as it were, if you will. So, you know, the children, little children, they have, they're angels. It's possessive. They're angels. And then we have these ministering spirits who see to our needs. The question I would have is it just one angel? Or is there a plurality of angels who are watching out for Nick or watching out for you? That's not specified in Scripture. It's not specified. And again, even this whole idea that, you know, the angels are guarding us or whatever, that itself isn't specifically stated. You got these hints where the veil is pulled back just a little bit and we see these things in Scripture. Another question that I have about this is, do angels only help godly or spiritual people? Is it just the saints, those who will inherit salvation? It's only the saints that they minister in a certain capacity, but just as a role in overseeing people and helping people. It would appear, based again on the biblical data, that angels will help anybody. There's an angel which is dispatched to comfort and strengthen King Darius over in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. Darius, he's not a part of the people of God. Not a Jewish person. Same thing with Cornelius over in Acts 10, where an angel shows up to help him out. Hey, go call Peter, right? Now, there's some who think that this idea that God is, you know, has the angels to as those who help people, that somehow, you know, he's showing favoritism if, say, something bad were to happen, like a child walks out into the road and gets hit by a car. What, were the angels? Angels relaxing there? They weren't on duty or what? But that simply, for one, isn't the case when it comes to favoritism, or partiality is the biblical word. As far as an angel falling asleep on the job, they're spiritual beings. They don't require sleep. So something else is going on there, but I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with a podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Plenty of question of the day segments there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Follow me on Twitter, @inpulpit, @N=Nick, pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Live from the Pulpit, and download all the episodes to your particular device. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there to help you in your daily walk with the Lord as well. Check out the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.